There's a lot of pain in this world. A lot of hurting people. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and by his stripes, hallelujah, we're healed. I'm glad to report this morning that there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains. Good to be in the house of the Lord today. And congratulations are in order for the former Whitney Deal. She is now Sister Whitney Clark. All of God's church and say amen. Amen. Can't you see that glow on her face? Amen. This morning I want to share a very special message, a challenging message. So I want to call your attention to two scriptural sites. I want to call your attention, first of all, to Psalms 119th chapter and the 89th verse. And then I want to call your attention to a New Testament passage, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15. Psalms 119:89 is the first passage. And the second passage is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15. You have Psalms 119:89, say amen. I didn't hear you, say amen.
Amen.
Forever, O Lord, yes, thy word is settled in heaven. We could say, forever, O Jehovah, thy word is settled in heaven. Or it could say, forever, O Yahweh, thy word is settled in heaven. Now from the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse number 15. And it reads, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Using these passages, I want to talk from the subject after further review. After further review. There are many arenas and venues from life in which we can learn spiritual lessons and insights. The Apostle Paul, that great preacher who called himself the slave of Jesus Christ, used the Olympic Games to teach us spiritual lessons and insights about the spiritual life. He talked about in the Olympic Games that those who expend great effort and energy are striving for a fading temporary crown. And he used that to urge us, to motivate us, that we're not striving for a temporary or fading crown, but we as Christians are striving for a eternal and unfading crown. In this analogy, Paul talked about the runner. And in the Christian life, we have to run this race with patience. He also talked about the boxer. In the Christian life, we have to fight the good fight. And so sports can teach us much about life. We're in the football season. We're in the football season. I ain't got to say nothing else. Amen. And during the football season, sports, we are attracted to and interested in sports. We marvel at the skills and performances of world-class athletes. And even though we are drawn to the game and world-class athletes, there are some individuals on the field that play an important role. And they are the officials. And on the field, it is their responsibility to make the calls on the field. And now they have a new technique. And they say after further review, that is, they look at the play, and if there are some questions about the play, they review the play. And in reviewing the play, they can either overturn the call on the field or they can confirm the call on the field. But the main thing is get it right.
Yes, sir.
Get the call right. And if there's ever been an arena where we need to get the call right, it's in the arena of religion.
Amen.
We need to get the call right.
Yes, sir.
And God has given us, preachers and teachers, a technique through which we are to get the call right.
Yeah.
And that technique, it's found in 2 Timothy 2:15 where he says, study.
Come on, preacher.
Or give diligence to present yourself to God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling aright the word of truth. And that idea of study means to give diligence and rightly dividing. In the King James and other passages talk about other translations render that handling aright. It means to cut it straight. It means to expound soundly. It means to keep a straight course. When it comes down to the word of God, every preacher and teacher must give diligence to cut it straight.
All right.
To handle God's word aright.
Okay.
Nobody has the right to add to God's word.
Amen.
No preacher has the right to subtract from God's word.
No,
no preacher has the right to edit or change God's word.
Right.
No preacher has the right or teacher to pervert God's word, but he is to get it right, get the call right, because human destinies are at stake. So you need to get it right. And so the psalmist said in Psalm 119:89, he said, forever, O Jehovah, your word is settled in heaven. That is, it is set up in heaven, and God's word is firm as the heavens are firm. And God's word being settled in heaven points to the unchanging character of God. God's word is forever settled in heaven. Amen. And it never comes back to God void. God's word shines with scintillating beauty, like white pearls on blue velvet. God's word is living and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. God's word is a lamp unto my feet, and it is a light unto my path. God's word is in a class all by itself. And so Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, preach the word. And he said, be instant in season and out of season. You know, it's always the right time to preach the word of God. And it's always the right time to cut it straight, to not misuse or abuse God's word. And in the context of 2 Timothy 4, he gave two important reasons why Timothy should preach the word or cut it straight. Number one, because Paul's departure was at hand. This great preacher, this great leader of the Christian church was about to depart. He was about to quit the walks of men and was going to a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And also he told Timothy, there's an urgency, there is an imperative that you preach the word. Cut it straight, young preacher, because the time will come when men will not endure sound Bible teaching. Their time is coming when they don't want accurate, correct, and healthy Bible teaching. But instead, the time is going to come when people are going to want to hear words that cater to their own desires. And they're going to gather preachers that are going to preach messages that will cater to their own desire, that will scratch, as it were, their itching ears. And so he told Timothy, preach the word. Amen. Be instant in season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. So this morning, I'm going to deal with four controversial issues. And you know, my opinion is no more important than yours. Because opinions won't save people. Only the unsettled word of God, which is in heaven, will save people's souls. Amen? So we have to handle it aright. So I'm going to talk about women preachers. I'm going to talk about same-sex marriages. Amen? I'm going to talk about the church of your choice. And I'm going to talk about what baptism is for. Amen. Because there's some controversy surrounding these four areas. But I want to cut it straight. I want to expound it soundly. Is that all right? Peter Amos I is not an authority, but this is. Amen. This is an infallible word. So after further review, what does the Bible say about women preachers?
Come on, preacher, let's hear it.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
Now, let me say that before I deal with the text, because I'm not going to give you my opinion, I'm going to give you the word. Amen.
Amen.
And we're living in a time where people's thinking is changing.
Yes, sir.
But I want to quote an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand that what we're going to deal with is not Paul's opinion. It is the word of God. But Brother Hillary, let's go to Galatians chapter 1 and let's look at verses 11 and 12. And I want you to read that from the King James, if you still have the King James. And also we're going to be reading today from the American Standard Translation, which has been described by some scholar as the most accurate literal English translation of the Holy Scriptures. It is a wonderful translation, and if you don't have a copy of the American Standard Version, you ought to have a copy of that for your own study, because it is an excellent and wonderful translation of the Word of God. But let's read what Paul says here in Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. And he makes a very important statement that we need to understand and see. What does he say, Brother Hillary? Read it.
But I certify you,
brethren,
that the gospel
which was preached of me
is not after man. For I neither received it
of man.
Neither was I taught it of man. But by the revelation.
But I got it by the revelation
of Jesus Christ.
The unveiling. In other words, what I'm about to share with you about this issue is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when Paul preaches the gospel, it is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that all right? Now, let's just see. What does Paul say? Let's go now to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And let's just see what does Paul, who is a fully empowered authority, what does he say about women in the pulpit? Hello, y'all. Y'all still out there? Amen. Let's start with verse 8. What does it say, Brother Hillary? Okay, go to the American Standard. 1 Timothy 2:8, American Standard. What does it say? First Timothy 2 and verse number 8. What does that say? Watch this.
I desire therefore
that the men pray
in every place
lifting up holy hands
without wrath
and disputing. Now what he's saying in that text, in that particular verse, is that I would that the men, that is males, men as distinguished from women, lead the public prayers in the public worship. That's what he's saying. And he warns the men that in you leading the public prayer, back then they would lift up holy hands. Now, of course, that is not something that's bound, but it's more of an attitude. But he did say that in your prayers, relationships affects prayers. Amen. Amen. You see, you can't be in a bad relationship with somebody and expect to get your prayers through. It's going to be a long journey, Lord. So be with me, Jesus. Amen. So he says that, now go to the King James, Brother Hillary. I'm going to work you hard today, Doc. You all right? You good. Hey, man, this going to help you get over that loss. That was a cheap shot. I shouldn't have done that. I apologize for that. Okay, you have the King James?
I do.
I will, therefore.
That men pray. Everywhere.
That's males pray. Leading the prayer in the public worship, men, males, as distinguished from women. Now he says that here is what I want women who profess to worship God to do. All right. Women who profess to worship God live a certain lifestyle. And in verses 9 and 10, he talks about what these women are to do. What is it?
American Standard.
Yeah.
In like manner.
That women adorn themselves.
In modest apparel.
If you are a woman that profess to worship God, you got to handle your business in a certain way. You got to dress like a woman that believe in God. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Is that all right? Because you know, I'm going to say this, men have enough trouble as it is.
Amen.
Preach, Moss.
Amen.
So you got to Help the brothers out. Preach, boss. Preach, boss. I bring my own amen. What does it say?
With
shamefastness
and sobriety.
And sobriety.
Not with braided hair.
Not with braided hair.
And gold apparel.
And gold apparel.
Or costly
raiment. That is, you got a woman professing to worship God must conduct her life and her behavior in a way that is befitting the great God that she worships.
All right, preacher.
Amen. Now, in verse 11, what does it say?
Let a woman learn in quietness.
Let a woman learn. The King James said a woman learn in silence, but it is really the word quietness, not total silence, which means she is to be not unruly, settled down, undisturbed.
All right, preacher.
Let her learn in quietness.
With all subjection.
With all subjection or submission. Come on.
But I permit not.
So he said, I permit not.
A woman to teach.
A woman to teach or preach.
Nor to have dominion.
In the public worship. And neither is she to have authority over men or the man. After further review, the word still stands.
Amen.
Is that all right?
All right.
Read it, Brother Hillary.
But I permit not a woman to
teach. I permit not a woman to teach.
Nor to have dominion.
Nor to have dominion.
Over a man.
Over a man.
But to be. In quietness.
In quietness.
For Adam was first born.
And then, now some people say, listen, because you have to deal with this text. So, some kind of way you got to deal with this text. So, some people say that there was a time when this was applicable, but it is no longer applicable. Let me tell you something. If you don't get the interpretation right, you can't get the application right. Nobody has the right to permit what God forbids. And nobody has the right to forbid what God permits. So, you have to get the interpretation right so you can get the application right.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
So he says, what, Brother Hillary? So here's the point. Was this just an instruction just for a limited period of time? Let me show you that it wasn't, because Paul, now in the next verse, he goes back to God's purpose in creation. It goes back to, you see, in creation, God made the man first, then the woman. Don't miss that.
That's right.
That's important in scripture.
Amen.
But not only does he go back to the order of creation, he goes back to something that took place in the fall.
Yeah.
The woman was completely misled. The man was not misled, but he was just in love with the woman. You know, ladies got powers.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. She got skills. You might as well go on and say it.
Amen.
It began in the beginning.
Amen.
Adam followed. He vacated his headship.
Yes, sir.
Eve was leading.
That's right.
So God says, I permit her not to teach. Or to have authority over the man. Read.
For Adam was first formed.
And then he appeals to creation. That is not just a cultural or a timeline. He goes to the, you see, it's all about the Creator's purpose. Every one of us today have a purpose for life.
Amen.
Nobody here, everybody, God's got a purpose for your life. You got to find out what it is. He's got a definite purpose for your life.
Amen.
Is that right?
It's all right?
In every organization, there must be a head.
Yeah.
And in the home, the head belongs to the male.
Amen.
In the kingdom of God, the headship belongs to the male.
Amen.
That's the teaching of the Holy Bible.
Yeah.
And after further review,
okay,
the word still stands. Amen. And then he goes on to talk about, he talks about childbearing. Now, of course, he's not saying that by a woman having a baby, that's salvation. But what he's dealing with, that if a woman who professes to believe in God embraces the purpose of God for her life, she will be saved.
Yes, sir.
So that's an inclusive. Read the rest of that for me, Brother Hiller. What does it say?
For Adam was first formed.
Adam was first formed. Then Eve. That's creation order.
And Adam was.
And this is why he said, I suffer not a woman to teach nor to have. Because Adam was. Then. That's creation order. That's purpose. And also Eve was in the transgression. Read, Brother Hillary.
The woman being beguiled.
Woman being beguiled is that is completely deceived.
Hath fallen into transgression.
She fell into a transgression. Now, Adam's sinned too, but it's talking about a particular transgression. Read.
But she shall be saved.
She shall be saved. Then talk about that. If she embraces her role that God has given her and not get outside of her role, she will be saved.
Amen.
And all of us will be saved if we accept and do God's will.
That's right.
So after further review, word of God still stands. What about same-sex marriages? We're living in a time now, and we need to say that. We need to teach people the truth about this, because attitudes are changing about marriage.
Yes, sir, it is.
Attitudes are changing about same-sex relationships.
Yeah.
We don't have to be ugly or unkind or unchristian, but we must teach people the truth.
Amen?
Amen? And what is the truth about saying it doesn't matter that states are changing it?
No, sir.
God's word is settled in heaven.
Amen.
Is that all right?
All right, sir.
So why don't we allow one who spoke as one having authority speak on the marriage question? Matthew 19, 1 to 6. Let's see what he says. Matthew 19. Let's let Jesus tell us about the Creator's purpose. It's all about the Creator's purpose. It's all about his purpose. Amen? Because God created the world. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Is that all right? Read, Brother Hiller. Matthew 19, beginning at verse 1 through about verse 6. What does the word of God say? Read it.
And it came to pass.
Came to pass.
When Jesus had finished these words, he departed from Galilee and came into the borders of Judea.
Read.
Beyond the Jordan.
All right.
And great multitudes
followed. Great multitudes followed him.
And he healed them there. And there came unto him.
Came unto him.
Pharisees.
Pharisees.
Trying him.
Trying him.
Saying. Is it lawful for me?
You see, the purpose of God for marriage is that people who get married stay married for life. Preach, Brother Moss. That's his purpose. Now, he does make some exceptions.
Amen.
But that's a different sermon.
Yes, sir.
But his purpose is man and woman
for life.
Marriage is a covenant of companionship. So to live successfully in a marriage, you got to have knowledge on how to dwell together. See, it's one thing when you're living by yourself.
Yes, sir.
It's another thing when you bring home a wife.
Amen. Well, keep going.
Guess I come over here and I can get some help over here. Read, Brother Hillary. Is it lawful for a man
to put away his
wife
for every cause?
For every cause.
And he answered and said,
And God. It is not God's plan or purpose for a man to say, well, she burnt the bread and I'm through with her. Hello, y'all.
Come on now. Make it plain, preacher.
Amen. If you want forgiveness, you got to forgive somebody.
Yeah, man.
Never seen folk want forgiveness but don't want to forgive nobody.
Lord, have mercy.
You can't have forgiveness if you don't forgive.
Amen.
Don't you want God to be merciful to you? You got to be merciful to people. Is that all right?
All right.
Read, Brother Hillary.
And he answered and said.
He answered and said.
Have you not read?
He takes them back to creation.
Yes, sir.
That he who
that when the great creator made man from the dust of the ground, and the great I am in whom life lives, breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, man became a living entity. Then the great creator looked around his creation and said, it is not good that man should be alone. So I'm going to make for him a helpmeet suitable for him. Put the man to sleep, the first operation. And the great I am with its awesome took a rib from the man's side, and the great I am created a woman. Because he's God, he can do that. He can make something out of nothing, Michael Alexander. Is that all right? And he brought this woman to man, and the man looked at her and just almost had a nervous breakdown. Said, this is bone. Woo!
My bone.
My bone.
Yes, sir.
Flesh.
Hallelujah.
My flesh.
Yeah.
Have you not read that he that made them in the beginning, how did he make them?
Both male and female.
Why did he make a male and female in the beginning? For his purpose. For his purpose.
Yes, sir.
And for this cause, what did he say?
For this cause.
And because he made a male and female, for this reason, or for this cause, shall a man
leave his father,
leave his father and his mother.
And shall cleave to
and
his wife.
Shall be glued. That word cleave means to be glued. And that's stronger than Elmer's glue.
Yeah.
That's stronger than super glue.
Yes, sir.
Hello? Because God's word can hold people together.
Amen.
Is that all right?
All right?
Read, Brother Hillary.
And the two shall become one.
And the
flesh.
Two shall become. It's no longer two lies. It's the unity of two people into one life. Don't you know sometime when folks get married, stay married a while, they start looking like each other? You ever wondered about that? Because two shall become one flesh. The male, I'm letting the one speak who had authority, shall become one flesh. Read.
So that they are no more two.
They're no more two.
But one flesh.
But one flesh.
What therefore God
what
has
God
joined together.
What God therefore has joined together. Lord have mercy.
Let not man put asunder.
And God in marriage, God Almighty, the living God, the eternal God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, my Savior and my Redeemer, he created man and woman, and he joined them in marriage. Now, I want to go to Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 26. So I say, after further review, God's word on marriage still stands. Is that all right?
All right, preacher.
What does Romans 1, 21 beginning say? Read it.
Because that knowing God,
they glorified him not as God.
Neither gave thanks. But became vain in
their imagination. You see, in your life, you gotta give thanks to God or something gonna happen to you.
Amen.
You gotta give thanks to God.
Got you, preacher.
Is that all right? Read, Brother Hillary.
And their senseless heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise. They became fools.
Read.
They changed the glory of the incorruptible God. Likened to an image of what? For the likeness of an image of corruptible man.
Of corruptible man.
And of birds.
And of birds.
And four-footed beasts.
And man will worship birds and beasts. When you don't worship the only true and living God, then you'll worship birds and beasts.
Yeah.
You even worship yourself. You even worship money. Is that all right? Read, Brother Hillary.
And creeping things.
Wherefore God, watch this now. Watch it very carefully. Wherefore God gave them up.
In the lust of their hearts.
In the lust of their hearts.
Unto uncleanness.
Uncleanness.
That their body should be dishonored.
That their body should be dishonored.
Among themselves.
Among themselves.
For that they exchanged the truth of God.
Because they exchanged the truth of God.
For a lie.
For the devil's lie.
And worshiped and served.
And they worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. Read.
Who is blessed forever. For this cause God gave them up unto vile passions.
For this cause God gave them up to vile passions.
For their women changed the
nature. For their women, Lord have mercy.
Come on, please.
Their women.
Say
it, sir. This is the word of the everlasting God. It is right if the whole world disagrees with it.
Amen.
God doesn't need me to agree with him for him to be right.
That's right, preacher.
Let God be true and every man a liar. Is that all right? Read, Brother Hillary.
For the women change their
natural use. Their
natural use.
You see, it's natural for a woman to desire a man, and it's natural for a man to desire a woman.
All right.
Is that all right?
All right.
Read.
Into that which is against nature.
Now, watch this. He said, notice that phrase very carefully.
Yeah.
Into that which is against nature. Which means against the Creator's design and purpose.
Yes, sir.
We read his purpose in Matthew 19.
Yes.
He that made him at the beginning made him
male and female.
Male and female.
Yes, sir.
But when you have men with men and women with women, that's against nature.
Yes, sir.
That's against the Creator's design. You don't have to be ugly to people, but you got to tell them the truth. That's against the Creator's purpose.
Yes, sir.
The Bible said, be not conformed to this world.
Yeah, there it is.
Don't let this world twist your thinking.
No,
but be ye
transformed.
By the Now, I know a lot of people don't want to hear this because Paul did say the time was coming.
Yes, sir.
When men will not endure
sound doctrine.
Sound doctrine is the word of God.
Amen.
And God says it is against nature.
Yes, sir.
It's against, no matter who doing it,
come on, would you help
us? It's against nature.
Amen.
It's against his design and his purpose.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So if you want to be on God's side, you got to be on truth side.
Yeah.
So after further review, God's word still stands on same-sex marriages. Here's a third point. After further review, what about the church of your choice? You hear a lot of talk religiously. You hear people say you ought to go to the church of your choice. You hear people say one church is as good as another.
Yes, sir.
What does the Bible say? You can't read in the Bible, go to the church of your choice. You can't read in the Holy Bible one church as good as another. But you can read that in Caesarea Philippi, Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build
my church.
You can read in the Holy Bible where he purchased the church, Acts 20:28, with his own precious blood. You can read in the Holy Bible that the Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved. You can read in the Holy Bible, amen, Ephesians 31:32, that Jesus is married to the church, and this is a great mystery.
Yes, sir.
It's deep, y'all. But the Lord is married to the church.
Yes, sir.
World has a problem with a lot of people don't like this. But God's word is settled. There's one man that is the Savior of the entire world.
Amen.
That's the gospel. John 14:6, I am
the way.
The way. I'm not a way. I am the way. I'm the truth and the life. No man comes to God but by
me.
Is that right? Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Is that all right?
All right.
So there's one man through which salvation is by. There's one church,
one,
according to the Bible,
yes,
in which all the saved are.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
Christ is the head of the church. He's the Savior of the body. So what church should be the church of your choice? The church of Christ's choice,
yeah,
should be the church of your choice.
Amen.
Is that right?
Right?
The church of your choice ought to be the one you can read about
in the Bible.
In the Bible.
Amen.
Is that right?
That's right.
There are man-made churches, and then there's a God-made church. And what God made is always better than man made.
Amen.
And so after further review, Lord have mercy.
Come on, preacher.
And you don't have to go under no curtains and look at it.
No, sir.
Just open the Bible.
Open
the word of God.
Still,
it still stands. And here's the last one, y'all. Mm-hmm. Last one. After further review, what is baptism for? There are some controversy. There are some people who tell people they don't have to be baptized in order to be saved.
Yes, sir.
Is that right? But now, Jesus Christ is called in Scripture a wonderful counselor.
Yes, sir.
Wonderful counselor. In Luke 7, 29 and 30, Jesus talked about that the people justified God. What does that mean? It means they agreed with God and they accepted God. And what they did, they accepted the counsel of God. And the counsel of God that they accepted was they were baptized under John's baptism.
Yeah.
But there were some who rejected the counsel of God and were not baptized under John. Why don't you just read that for me right quick, Brother Hillary. Luke chapter 7, verse 29 and 30.
And all the people, when they heard,
uh-huh,
and the publicans justified God.
When you justify God, that is, you agreed with God. You accepted what God said was right. God said, John was sent by me to baptize you all for the remission of sin. And the people who accepted that, they justified God.
All right.
Read.
Being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees
and the lawyers
rejected for themselves
the counsel of God.
Being not baptized.
When you're not baptized, at least in that instance, they rejected the counsel of God. Now watch this.
Mm-hmm.
Now under the Great Commission, Jesus is a global Lord. The church has a global initiative. The gospel is global.
Yes, sir.
It's for everybody.
Everybody.
Even people in Muslim nations, the gospel is for everybody.
Amen.
Is that all right?
All right, Peter.
So we have a baptism under the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. He says, go and make disciples of the nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son,
yes, sir,
Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
When you're baptized in the name of the Father,
yes, sir,
Son, mm-hmm, Holy Spirit.
All right, man.
Great Commission baptism, Mark 16, 15, 16. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized, watch this, shall be saved.
All right, preacher.
Is that all right?
All right?
So baptism makes disciples. Baptism saves people.
Yes,
he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Yes.
Acts 2:38, baptism is for the remission of sin.
Yes.
Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name or by the authority of Jesus Christ for or unto, for the purpose of the
remission.
And then you have in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. That as many of you, you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have. Now. And then the Bible says that baptism saves people.
That's right.
Did you know that?
Yes, sir.
Let's go to 1 Peter 3:21.
Yeah.
King James, Brother Hillary. 1 Peter 3:21.
After further review. After further review.
The like figure.
The like figure.
Whereunto even baptism. Whereunto
even baptism.
Doth also now save
doth
us.
Doth now also save us. Read, my brother.
Not the putting away
it is
of the
not
filth
the putting
the
away of the filth of the flesh.
But the answer of a good
but
conscience.
But baptism helps a man's conscience.
By the resurrection of Jesus
because
Christ.
A man that's been baptized knows he's right with God.
Amen.
So, whatever baptism did in the first century, it does in the 21st century.
Amen.
Whatever the purpose of baptism was in the first century, it has that same purpose in the 21st century. Is that all right?
It's all right.
So therefore, in conclusion today, after further review, God's word on women preachers still stands. After further review, God's word on same-sex marriages still stands. After further review, God's word on the idea of going to the church of your choice still stands. After further review, amen, God's word on the purpose of baptism still stands. Now, aren't these controversial issues?
Yes, sir, preacher.
Don't people argue about these issues? And I know everybody not going to agree with me, but you don't have to agree with me.
No, sir.
You need to agree with the Bible. Is that all right?
All right, preacher.
Because the Bible is right,
yeah.
And it cannot be wrong.
No, sir.
Well, how do you become a New Testament Christian? You hear the gospel.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So then faith cometh by hearing,
yeah.
And hearing by the word of God, Romans 10. And verse 17, then you got to believe it. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Is that all right? And then you got to repent of your sin. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, at the time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Is that all right? And then you got to confess the sweetest name ever to roll from mortal tongue. Romans 10:9-10. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Is that right? And then you got to go down in the water. Is that all right?
Yeah.
You got to go down in the water. Mark 16:15-16. He that believeth and is baptized, he shall be saved. Is that all right? So I'm going to my seat now, but Brother Michael Alexander read to y'all that he said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Is that all right? Ain't nothing wrong with making a joyful noise to the Lord. Come before the Lord with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Is that all right? For the Lord is good. Can anybody say amen to that? The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures unto all generations. I heard somebody say, truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future, and behind the dim unknown God standing within the shadows, keeping watch above his own. I tell you, after further review, the word of God still stands. After further review, God's word still shines with scintillating beauty. Is that all right? After further review, God's word still is living and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Is that all right? After further review, God's word is still a lamp unto my feet and is a light unto my path. Oh, I'm so glad about God's word, because God's word shows me Jesus. Is that all right? It tells me that Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the way. He's the truth and the life. Is that all right? Jesus is Alpha and Omega. Jesus is the first and the last. Jesus is the beginning and the end. Is that all right? Jesus is Mary's baby. Jesus is the champion of Mount Calvary. Jesus is the one that makes my life worth living. Is that all right? Jesus is a shelter in the time of a storm. Jesus is a rock in a weary land. Is that all right? Jesus is like rivers of water in a dry place. Is that all right? And because of Jesus, after further review, I'm going to stay with the Lord. Is that all right? I'm going to stand on the promises. I ain't going to just sit on the property. I'm going to sit on the promises, Brother Milton. Is that all right? And after further review, I'm going to thank God for the word of God. And let me tell you something. The world and the word will never agree. Hello, y'all. And so if you're going to follow the world, you can't have the Lord. But if you're going to follow the word, you got to give up the world. Prove it, Brother Moss. Be not conformed to this world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. What's in the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. These are of the world, but that's fading away. Amen. How many want to live forever? Amen. Well, you can't live forever without God. Amen. You got to have God in your life. So after further review, and I hope we've helped somebody today. Amen. After further review, stand on your feet. God's word still stand. Ain't you glad about that? If there's anything solid in this world, that's the word of God. And God says, if you repent of your sins, I'll forgive you. Ain't that good news? God said, if you need some help, I'll help you. Amen. God said, I'll be whatever you need me to be. After further review, Lord have mercy, the word still stand. If anybody ought to get it right, because one day I got to stand before God. And the Bible tells me and tell every preacher, make full use of your ministry. Can't none of us afford to stand before God and we know we haven't done our best. Amen? Can you afford to go before God and know you haven't done the best you could? But when you've done the best you could, that's all you can do. But guess what? That's enough. A.L. Williams said, all you can do is all you can do. And all you can do is enough. Amen? So I have to preach the word, be instant, in season. A preacher may be popular, but he ain't in a popularity contest. Hello, y'all. If a preacher ever loved popularity more than God's favor, he's in trouble. Amen. Hello, y'all. Amen. Because he's going to preach then to please people instead of preaching the word of God. Do we want the word of God, or do we want something going to tickle our ears?
Yes, sir.
Do we want the word of God, or do we want the word that will make us wise about salvation? That's what we need in churches. Amen. Now, I ain't against having a hallelujah good time. I don't mind folks getting their shout on.
Come on, preacher.
Amen. Amen. If anybody got a reason to praise God, it's us. Is that right? Amen. But know what you're shouting for. Because the devil will have you shouting on a lie. Amen. But you, if you're going to shout,
hallelujah,
shout on the truth. Amen. If you're going to wave your hand in the air like you just don't care, do it on the truth. And after further review, God's word still stands. The same word the apostles preached. That's what we're preaching today. The same word the Lord Jesus himself preached. That's what we're trying to preach today. Amen? If you got some friends, buy this CD or get this CD. Give it to somebody. And let them know after further review, the word of God still stands. Amen?
Amen?
Maybe you can help somebody who need to see it for themselves. If when you give the best of your service to in the world that the Savior is come, be not dismayed when men won't stand and say, well done.